Today I just want to talk to you about this. Jesus is the true shepherd. He is the best shepherd ever. And we try to follow that pattern as an under-shepherd because how he did things is just unreal. But I think everyone strives to be like that because he did say, the works that I do shall you do. And it's not an or, it's an and. Don't forget that. It's an and you will do even greater works. If you have your Bibles, open up to John 10. We know this passage of scripture very, very well. Now, even in chapter 9, Jesus was having this conversation with the Pharisees and was telling them that they were basically spiritually blinded. So it carries on over to chapter 10. Now, if you even backed up to verse 8, I believe it had talked about the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. Now, some people believe that after the fact that Jesus had said these things, you know, woman, where are your condemners? She says, there is none. And he tells her, go and sin no more. Like they just turned around and left. No, no, no. They stayed there. And he kept on preaching. And it goes into chapter 9, then it also goes into chapter 10. But he says here, I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. See, robbers only do that. Thieves only do that. They try to sneak in, break in and stuff in every which way. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. There is no other way to enter. You have to enter through Jesus, a faith in Jesus. There is no other way to enter into the sheep pen. Jesus is the only way. He's the only way to the Father. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. The sheep follows the shepherd's voice. Who's the shepherd? I'm just an under-shepherd. You don't follow man, even though I am a man of God, you follow Jesus. You don't put my word above God's word. And you don't put anybody else's word above God's word. We follow Jesus. He's that voice that we are truly supposed to follow. A true shepherd will never lead you into temptation, into sin. Jesus doesn't do that. A true shepherd will never have you go out and spouting out stuff. True shepherd won't have you commit certain types of things in order to teach you. I said, true shepherds don't do that. Jesus is trying to get us free from that. Come on. True shepherds will lead you because they're walking ahead of you. So I had shared before when Peter and all them, when Jesus was praying in the garden of Gethsemane, and they seized to take hold of Jesus. They went to try, and Peter came and cut the high priest's ear off, the servant of the high priest's ear off. Jesus said, put your sword away. Don't you know that at my disposal I can have 12 legions of angels? But the reality of it is, Peter being a sheep, sheep don't protect shepherd. That's why the Bible says that God will strike the shepherd and the sheep will do what? Scatter. You can't be struck if you're not leading. If you're hiding behind, being protected by everyone, that's not a true shepherd. Because now you're just throwing everybody into harm's way. Here you go. You know, it's when you're truly leading, when you're a true shepherd, you're protecting them. When Jesus prayed over his disciples, he prayed for protection. A quarterback needs protection. See, as an under-shepherd, I'm like a coach. Because I'm here to equip you all to do every good work. To go out there and then play your game. Live life. And if you mess up the play, okay, there's a little bit of correction. Let's do an audible here, what have you. You're getting the plays called from the Holy Spirit. But a true shepherd will lead their team out because if they win or lose, that coach is going to have to take the brunt of it. You're responsible for what you teach. You're responsible for how you equip. You're responsible for who you disciple. And if you are making disciples. And seeing the thing about with coaches, coaches have assistant coaches. And if those assistant coaches have, you know, a call in their life to be a head coach, well, then you develop more coaches that way. I have my friend, Pastor Cello, he does a lot of discipling. But the thing is that he's developing people who may have a call on their life to help them in their purpose, to help fulfill their call on their life. If they were called a pastor, he's helping to fulfill that call. See, that's what coaches do, because you're always going to have assistant coaches. See, all the guys that were under John Wooden, how many of them were influenced by him? Bobby Knight, how many were influenced by him? Dean Smith, how many were influenced by him? You always have to have coaches. So part of it is to help you develop your purpose, to find out what your purpose is in life. If you do have a call in ministry, let's help you out. But everyone has a ministry. Your ministry is where you're at your job or what have you, your home, your family, your friends. Here's your ministry. Well, I don't have a big time. Listen, you can reach a whole lot more people than I can, because you encounter a whole lot more people. Mark 14 says this. On the way, Jesus told them, all of you will desert me, for the scripture says, God will strike the sheep, shepherd, and the sheep will scatter. Again, you can't strike the shepherd if he is not leading the way God intended shepherds to lead. They're just hiding behind the sheep. Verse 6 says, those, in John 10:6, those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. Those who come through Jesus come through the right way, the safe way to eternal life. You can't get it any other way. Well, maybe I can do it through good works. No, you can't get it there. There's not enough good works that you can do. If I just be nice to everybody and get along with everyone, and you know, if I put a couple of posts on Facebook, that should be enough. It'll never be enough. It will never, ever be enough to be able to stand before God. Thieves and robbers look for a way in. They will always look. See, I can have my garage door open and people will pass by, boom, and not even think twice. Some may stop and look and stuff and see, you know, I have a neighbor that he can't wait till I get out and start putting stuff out and stuff like that, because he wants to get first dibs, because he has grandchildren and stuff, and sometimes we have like old basketballs and he took our old trampoline and stuff like that, so, which is all good. But see, a thief will try to break in. A thief will try to help himself to something that isn't theirs. A thief will look for ways to be able to, okay, is he watching? They'll look for a weakness in you to be able to try to get something from you, try to steal from you. They come to do what? Steal, kill, and to destroy. They don't stop until they're satisfied with your life being destroyed. That's why it talks about in Revelations, it talks about the enemy. In Revelations chapter 2, it talks about enemy, Jezebel, who teaches and seduces my servants, God's children, to commit immorality. And it's not just sexual. A thief will do that. They'll teach you how to lie. They'll teach you how to slander. They'll teach you how to do sexual things. They'll teach you how to do all these other things that isn't aligned with God's word. See, the true shepherd, Jesus, will never lead you into temptation. Verse 8 says here, all who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep do not listen to them. He says, yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. John 10:10 says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them rich and satisfying life. See, Jesus is referring to the thief. We say it's the enemy, but, well, the enemy is influencing him, but he was referring to Pharisees. He didn't hold back against them. I like that. I don't know why I can't get away from the Gospels, but I'm just saying that Jesus did not hold back when it came to correcting or rebuking or calling them hypocrites, calling them snakes in every which way. Because they were. You even look at this woman who was in adultery. They jacked that all up. They made a mess out of it. You know, there could have been a time, if they never would have done that, I believe that woman would have came to know Jesus the right way. But see, they messed it all up. It wasn't in God's timing, but then again, Jesus was there. And he didn't condemn her. See, aren't you glad that God can clean up our mess? Clean up Pharisees' messes and things of that nature. It says, woman, go and sin no more. See, religious leaders, they were always constantly trying to throw a monkey wrench in everything. Look for ways to plot to kill. Couldn't receive a rebuke. Always trying to do other things. But Jesus, the true shepherd, was after the sheep. You know, this is, I talked about tongues the other, you know, last few weeks, and I don't know if I scared off some people. That's all right. That's okay. It's in the Word. But Jesus didn't speak in tongues. No. Because he and the Father were one. The Bible says when you speak in tongues, you do not speak to men, but you speak to God. And he was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Tongues came, and as soon as they began speaking, all the people from all those nations heard their language. It's for the world. Come on. All right, let's move on. Let's move on. Any time of the day, the thief will look for opportunities to try and steal. A true shepherd will help you see that there's a weakness, and he'll help you fix it. Thieves will try to exploit what you have, but a true shepherd will help you recognize that there's a weakness here and you need to tighten it up a little bit. So that you won't be exploited. So that the thief can't take advantage of you. So that the enemy doesn't have a way into your life. That's why it talks about casting all our cares, walking in love and forgiveness and things of that, because God does not want that thief to be able to steal, kill, and to destroy. Jesus didn't sugarcoat anything either. I love that. He still had a heart for people, but he didn't sugarcoat it. Jesus, why couldn't we cast that demon out? Well, because of your unbelief. I heard a pastor once say, I can't say that to the people. Well, oh, it's in the Bible. I can't tell people that. Well, it's in the Word. I also heard somebody say, unbelief isn't sin. Unbelief is sin. It is sin. You need to repent from it if you're in unbelief. Jesus' purpose was to give them a rich and satisfying life. Life the way God wants it to be. Other versions will say more abundant. He came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. To the full, to it overflows. It spills on all over in every area of your life. Now, I just want you to do a self-evaluation. Self. Don't look at your husband. Don't look at your wife. Do a self-evaluation of your life. Now, what doesn't have life that is in my life right now? What is like dead right now? That Zoe life. Is there something? It could be a relationship with your son or daughter for many years that they're not talking to you. It could be even your children just kind of being, you know how children are, teenagers. We know how they can get sometimes. Could it be that coworker that you can't get along with? Could it be that teammate or that classmate? I just can't stand them. Here's one. Could it be yourself? What haven't you forgiven yourself for? What are you still holding on to? What are you still carrying? Because you know it's not your fault. If I would have just done this, that never would have happened. Don't beat yourself up over that. Jesus came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. How about is it your fellowship with the Father? Have I been close to God lately? His word says to draw near to him and he will draw near to you. Lord, I haven't been doing that. Can you help me in that area? Well, I just shut everything down and then speak with him. It's not hard. Sometimes we make it hard because I'm so busy. I'm so busy. I'm so busy. Shut it down. The Father wants to spend time with you, not just so that you can get something from him, but so that he can get something to you. He wants that fellowship with you. Because he says, my sheep hear my voice. When we try to do it ourselves, we end up with a cheap brand. We end up with a cheap, I know God. You know about God, but do you really know God? I believe that's one of the reasons why I spend so much time in the Gospels is because if you truly want to know who the Father is, you got to know the Son. And Jesus is the exact representation of the Father and how he did things. The Father, that's the Father's heart. He cannot do anything without the Father telling him or say anything without the Father telling him. He says, I am the good shepherd, verse 11. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Jesus sacrificed his life for the sheep. He endured pain, name calling, being lied on, spit on. He was beaten down to an inch of his life. He laid his life down for each and every one of us. Verse 12 says, a hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. Jesus never ran away from those things. He never ran away from evil leaders. He stayed. Went right back at them. Made them leave. Walked right through them when they tried to grab a hold of them. Couldn't touch them. He stayed and protected the sheep because that's what good shepherds do. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no one pursues them, but the uncompromisingly righteous are bold as a lion. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for money and doesn't really care about the sheep. He doesn't really care. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. Verse 16, I have other sheep too, and they are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice and there will be one flock with one shepherd. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. You are all Jesus's sheep. You are not my sheep. You're his. Even if you were to leave here, you're still going to be his. John 21:15 says this, New Living Translation. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs. Jesus told him, Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know I love you. Then take care of my sheep. Jesus said a third time when he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. You all are Jesus' sheep, no other man's sheep. You belong to him, and he belongs to you. You're not my sheep. I'm just an under-shepherd here to help feed you. But no other man is your shepherd but Jesus, the Son of Man. My sheep hear my voice, no other voice. You realize that some people, I've gotten to a place to where I know, and it's not in an arrogant way, I'm not trying to say, but nobody can speak over my life or prophesy through manipulation in my life. You know why? Because I hear his voice. And anybody who comes and can tell you something, well, I heard God, you know, Richard, I may not do it myself, but if I were to just say, I'm going to send Jason, and Jason's going to go and tell Richard, you know, Pastor Tim, he's been really wanting some land, you know, he's wanting to build his big old house and stuff like that. And okay, well, you know, and then I'll drop another bug in somebody else's ear to come by Richard and tell him, because I know Richard got a little money. I know Richard got a little money. And I'll, you know, tell two or three people and get Richard to, you know, thinking about, I think the Lord is telling me to buy Pastor Tim some land. Oh my goodness. It must be the Lord. I said, understand, number one, I'll never ever do that. That will never come from me. And I will never send anyone else because I won't lead you into temptation because that's manipulation. But I'm just saying, I'm sorry. I'm messing with you. But see, that's the thing. Sometimes people can do that and try to speak something over you that God never even spoke to you here. And when you know he's spoken to you here, then what they say may line up with what he's already spoken to you or what he will speak to you later on here. Not through here, not through the ear gate. Well, where did you hear that from? Oh, I don't know. Somebody told me. Okay, let's get it straight. I've never walked down the street and something just flew into my ear. Some information just flew into. You know who told you. Because the Bible says out of the mouth of two or three, let every word be established. I said, but it has to line up with what he's spoken to you. Number one, with his word. And number two, what he's already spoken to you. So that way you can never be fooled. Prophets can't speak over you in that sense and manipulate you. Apostles can't. No one can. Because he says, my sheep, do what? Hear my voice. But what if it doesn't come to pass in what God has told you to? I remember listening to a story. I think Andrew Womack tells it. But he had talked about, I might butcher this, but he had talked about a man who was, you know, talked about a man that had basically went to a conference. He was supposed to speak at a conference, and he was just going to stay there and just spend a night at the hotel and just kind of hang out because it wasn't his night of speaking. Well, the people that he was with were saying, hey, let's go. Let's get on. Let's go. Let's go listen to this guy. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. Nah, I just think I need to stay here. The Holy Spirit was telling him. The Lord was telling him to stay. But he ended up going. Well, he ended up going. They had a good time. But when they came back, somebody bust into his room. Stole his stuff. Said stole his laptop. Had two books he was writing. Now, if he would have stayed, what would have happened? Nothing. You probably even heard about the story. But the thing about it is that inner witness, regardless of what other people are saying, they could be right. You got to know his voice. God was saving him from something. And maybe that guy would have busted some stuff up later on and they would have caught him later on and things of that nature. But you know what? Sometimes even when nothing happens, it's still good to listen to the voice of God. People have spoken over my life before. Some of that stuff I like. Other times they're trying to get me to do stuff. I was like, yes, okay, no, not doing that. No, I'm not getting that here. So what do you do? I said, I just keep moving on. So what's get told about me? Oh, he ain't listening. Well, I'm listening to God. I'm just not listening to you, because you want me to do something that God doesn't want me to do. I can't roll with that. And if you lie on me, by all means, I love you anyway. You gotta understand that even Satan can produce two or three witnesses. Jezebel did that with Naboth's vineyard, if you haven't read that. When the council brought Jesus to trial, they produced two witnesses that spoke against him. So anybody can produce a couple of witnesses just to get them to say something. Okay? God's voice will line up with his word. That will be beneficial for you. The enemy's voice will try to accuse you of something you may have done years ago, but here's the thing. You know it's already under the blood of Jesus. God ain't going to condemn you over something that you did 15 years ago, 25 years ago. See, the enemy just want to hear the story again just so they can condemn you. Just ignore it, rebuke it, plead the blood of Jesus over it. It's already under it. And continue to walk in the light that he has already given you. Enemy will try to put false narratives on you and get you to believe something isn't true. Taking you on a wild goose chase. The true shepherd laid his life down for the sheep. He did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to serve because he was a true shepherd. Even when Elijah called down fire from heaven, his disciples wanted to call down fire from heaven as well. Jesus didn't do that. Why? Because the Son of Man did not come to destroy lives, but save them. The true shepherd will not try to destroy your life. He'll try to destroy those things. I said he will destroy those things that are in your life that's keeping you from a relationship, having a personal relationship with him. He'll start pruning some things out of your life. So how do I know I'm listening to the shepherd? Even if you don't do what somebody else may come around and say, you make sure you hear from the Lord first before you act on anything that anyone else tells you. You make sure you have enough. I believe the Lord is leading me to say this. I believe the Lord is leading me to do this. I believe the Lord is leading me to what have you. You make that commitment to be able to listen to the voice of God. His sheep hears his voice. Enroll with it. But what if I miss it? Then you missed it doing the right thing rather than the wrong thing. I don't know. I may have missed it when the Lord. No, I'm not going to say that joke. I love her. She's so good. But when you're spending time with the Lord, he's going to tell you those things. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. That's an advantage that we have. He will show you. He will tell you things to come. You will know before. People will be plotting against you, and God will show you that. Don't go there. Or better yet, if you do, say this. He'll have you already prepped, and ready to go. You don't ever have to fear. Again, it's just a shadow. Yea, they all walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's just a shadow. Shadows aren't scary. Sometimes they could be. It looks like a knife or something like that, but it's just a bottle of shampoo. You Your relationship is far more important. I know I talk about doing the works of Christ and stuff, but your relationship is far more important. Getting to know Jesus. Start there. And if you're doing well, keep it up. I even need to draw closer. I want to draw so closer to God. I mean, I'm telling you, it's... I won't even have to say anything. People would just know. You realize that people were bringing others, the sick, just so that Peter's shadow. Wow. And he says this, and Peter walked with Jesus, but yet Jesus said, it's better for me to go. You believe. You're blessed because you believe, because you see it. Those who don't see it is even more blessed. The true shepherd will never lead you astray. He's always faithful. He'll be honest with you. He'll be truthful. He'll be diligent to do what he said he's going to do. And he's already done it. He's already blessed you with every spiritual blessing. So Jesus held his part up. We just got to do ours and spend some time with him. What do I need to cut out in my life? That's not the point, fingers. What do I need? Lord, I want to spend more time with you. Shut the TV off. Okay. I can sit in quiet and just listen for your voice. You don't need to, do I need to go on that trip? No, no. If you do, just spend some time with me. It's okay to get away. Just spend some time with me. Keep me first in your life. Not me, him. People are looking, Pastor Tim, want me to keep? No. No, no. Hallelujah. The thief comes to do what? Jesus came to do what? What version were you doing? That's the King James. He came to give you life and more abundantly. If that's not going on in your life, just do that self-evaluation once every week. How's it going? How's my relationship with my kids? Some people do it every day. Some people do it once a year. But whatever the Lord is leading you to do, do it. Because he'll never lead you astray. And I guarantee you, you're going to start seeing some things change in your life. You're going to start seeing you being more bold when it comes to using his word. I'm just never going to be able to find me a wife or a husband or a companion or a friend or what have you. I said, Jesus is everything that he needs you to be. Everything. And he can point you in the right direction. Aisle 9. Told you the Lord is direct. Go to aisle 9. But I don't need anything. Go to aisle 9. And you go to aisle 9, you see Richard. That's right. And he's chilling. That's right. I'm just playing. He's a good God. And all he wants is that relationship with you. The true shepherd. The good shepherd. Hallelujah. Well, Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the true shepherd, Lord. And we just give our lives to you. We surrender our will to you. We want to do your will, not ours. Father, if there's any area in our life where we just need to clean up, whatever it is, we just surrender that to you. Your word says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Whatever it is, Lord, show that to us personally. And we just thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And all those who agree say amen. Amen and amen. How you doing, Douglas? Good, good. Y'all see the white little house out front, right when you walk in? The last couple of years he has redone that, because it sometimes it gets a little weathered out there and starts chipping and stuff, and he does a great job at fixing that up and stuff like that. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Folks, as you know, excuse me, it's Pastor Appreciation Month, and today we would like to honor our church pastor, Pastor Tim Nunnery, his wife, his family. I've known him for years. He and his wife has basically raised our youngest son with Ethan, because they've been best friends since they were born, I believe. But I appreciate Pastor Tim for what he's done for us as a church, back in youth ministry and all through, and now he's our lead pastor, and I'm so proud to tell everybody that Pastor Tim is our pastor. And you know what? I appreciate him for, number one, he speaks the truth, he speaks God's word, and he doesn't sugarcoat it. And you know what? It may upset some people, but too bad. I'm sorry, but it's God's word. And if you don't like it, you know, I'm sorry, but maybe you need to look inside. Because that's what Pastor Tim does. He doesn't speak anything unless God tells him to. And I've been listening. When I run the camera or if I'm in church, I listen. And he speaks what God tells him to speak. And that's what I like about this church. And ever since we started coming here, nobody has made fun of us or talked about us. Everybody's just so welcome. And that's because of leaders like Pastor Tim. They follow what him and his family, his wife, they follow what they do. And so if you could, let's give Pastor Tim a great round of applause for everything that he has done for our church. Thank you, Pastor Tim. And everything that he's going to do, because I see a lot of great things happening to this church with Pastor Tim and his family. I really do. I feel great about coming here and being part of it. But in the back, on a table back there, there's baskets for Pastor Tim and all the pastors, actually, that we have here in this church, because we've got a lot of other pastors that help. We've got the youth ministry. We've got Pastor Brandon that helps. So there's baskets back there for everybody. And if you have a gift for them, you know, leave them a gift. If you don't, that's great. That's fine. But on the way out of church, stop and tell them thank you and mean it. I mean, if you really like coming to this church and you love what Pastor Tim is putting in your heart to go out and speak to the community, tell them thank you. Give them a hug, you know, whatever, a high five, I don't care. But just tell them thank you and show them how much you really appreciate it. Okay? And again, thank you, Pastor Tim.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.